Happy is the man. Proverbs chapter 3, 13 to 20 is our text. How can a man be happy? Will he be happy if he has many friends? Will he be happy when he has much wealth and is a success in everything that he does? What if he is diagnosed with terminal disease that finds no physical cure possible? Would life collapse with such a discovery? Indeed, it behooves us to think concerning life. It behooves us to think concerning the end of life and the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and what life is all about. I was visiting an elderly man this week, or last week, and it was time for dinner. And he was trying to eat dinner. It's tough because the day before he had tooth extraction. Three tooth extracted. So the wound was still tender. So he was looking at the food. He was served with noodles. And he said, "I can't take noodles." And so the dear wife said, "No, we've requested for porridge." And as I look, as we see, you realize that we are all going that way. That path of physical weakness. Any one of us who would witness such a scene, it's a sobering thing. It was a sobering moment for me to see that indeed one day I'm going that way. And what will life be when there would be time when you lose a sight, in the sense that you lose a whole of life itself? It's easy to talk when we have a whole of things. Our minds, our mental faculty is strong. We are able to discern, think. But what if these things suddenly become weak? And perhaps these things may be taken away from us. What will life be? Well, we have published in our weekly article the life of our brother Victor Ng and his dear sister Api. How tough it is. I remember I received a phone call during Chinese New Year reunion dinner. He was with a sister, and sister was not well. Tough time, difficult time. And you would see, we want to think and consider life. And what makes a happy life? And our text tells us, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. What is this wisdom? What is this understanding? The writer of this Proverbs is a man called Solomon. He was also the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes. And, Ecclesiastes was written at his old age. It is a description of the life of a backslider who came to his senses. The prodigal son who saw the folly, futility, and the fruitlessness of his ways and came back to his father's house and speak with hindsight of a wasted life. And yet, it was not in vain that he lived his life. He penned down the regrets in his life. And he tells us, don't walk that way. Don't walk that way. It was more than a biography. In fact, it was a message, a sermon. He was speaking to us concerning the vanity of life, of the natural man. How it will not satisfy in the final analysis. And for Solomon, his hobby was collecting apes and peacocks. Apes and peacocks. These are, items in those in the world that as you look at it, I saw a peacock feather yesterday. And I was examining it and find, wow, it's so beautiful. How God made it so wonderful and great. And for Solomon, there were many ships that comes to his kingdom, and it was written that they would bring gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. As he looked at life, you sense in him a sense of a deep repentance in the heart of living a wasted life. Have you think about what you are doing in your life? Have you considered how you are investing your life? Is it profitable? Is it going to be profitable in the final equation as you think of it? Well, the Lord is seeking us to think and consider. Solomon tells us that it is better to seek the possessions of the heart than the material possessions of this world. He tells us that he had all these things. In fact, Solomon was the richest man who has ever lived on the face of the earth. He was the wisest man also who has lived on the face of the earth. And he's a man with a message. And he filled us with a thought. He says, vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities. And he wanted to point to us what consists true happiness in the life of a man. And he tells us that as he reveals his own life of backsliding, and he comes to terms with his own folly, it took courage for him to admit. It takes courage for us to admit that we are wrong, to admit our own shortcoming, to confess for him in the thesis of confession his own folly and the great soul searching that went on in his heart. Our text gives to us Solomon's good words. He tells us that the way to true happiness, the way to true happiness, and the two thoughts that we want to think is this: finding precious life with the Lord. Finding precious life with the Lord. Verses 13 to 15. And finding pleasantness and peace. Verses 16 to 20. Pleasantness and peace. The word there means delightfulness. What are those things that are truly delightful? And what are those things that makes for peace for the soul? Verse 17. These are the things that he wants us to think and ponder. And so he begins in our text in verse 13. To give his thesis statement. He says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, what is this wisdom that he was seeking to find? Well, at the end of his life, at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says that happy is the man that findeth God, that findeth his creator. And there he said, happy is the man that findeth the God, the living and true God. You know, last week we were putting in our weekly about the man who wrote concerning gods, and he says that there are people who worship different types of God in different countries. Some people think that there are two gods. Some people think that there are 10 gods. Some people think that there are hundreds of gods. But we submit to you, in the words of Solomon, that there is one living and true God. If you know Him, you call Him the Lord, someone whom you are willing to give your life for, because He's the one who gives you your life. I repeat again. Someone whom you are willing to give your life for, because He is the one that gives to you your life. Jesus put it this way: the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Finding wisdom, true wisdom, is like finding the pearl of great price. That ultimate pearl. And you, when you find it, you say, this is it. Wow, so wonderful. And this Solomon tells us, if you have found that wisdom that God would give to you, you have found it. Well, for me, and as it is for many of you, I believe, when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is the greatest wisdom we have found. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And, you know, we are the Chinese people, many of you here, and it is recorded in the history of the Chinese people that in the beginning the Chinese worshipped the God of heaven. There is this connection with the living and true God that Solomon speaks about, and for many hundreds and thousands of years, the emperor of China would pay tribute to the God of heaven. Somehow there is that knowledge. And so Solomon is telling us that if you have found that knowledge to be connected to the one that is emanating life for you, that gives you life, well, you have found the answer to life. And so, coming to know God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, and He is the way in which sinful men can be connected to a living God. Well, it's great knowledge. And that is the wisdom that Solomon is speaking about. At that time, Christ has not come yet. But the Word of God has given enough clue, right, that the Messiah, the Christ, will come. And for me, finding that wisdom, I found myself studying a passage of Scripture. I turned with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And let us read together this text here. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and is in this last day spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, I relate to you my own journey of faith while studying the Word of God. And there were times when I wondered, how would I meet the needs of my family, needs of my wife, needs of my children, my retired parents, when day in, day out, I'm spending time studying the Word of God, memorizing vocabulary after vocabulary. Well, at that time, I was learning the lesson of faith. And this lesson was spelled out very clearly as I studied the Word of God. What did I learn? I learned that Jesus is the Creator, that He made all things, by whom also He made the worlds, and that He is the sustainer of the world. Here our text says that He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. And there was a time when I started to think, and we were doing a word search, and so I stumbled upon this word called Rhema, or the word of His power. What does it mean? The word of His power. So I began to study this word Rhema, and I found the first occurrence in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. And Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus was tempted by Satan. And while He was tempted by Satan, He said, He was very hungry, and Satan said, "You turn stone to bread." And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Rhema. Spiritual food is more important than physical food. Physical food is only good for this lifetime. Spiritual food lasts for eternity. And that's why I'm diligently studying God's Word. It is food to my soul more than physical sustenance can be to my body. So I learned to esteem the spiritual above the physical. And I thank God for His faithfulness in taking care of my physical needs through my studies. And then in Luke 5:5, Simon said, remember, they were fishermen, experienced fishermen, and they went fishing, but they have not caught anything. And that night, that day, the Lord Jesus spoke to them and said, "We have go out again and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." The word of God has power. And how, you know, the fishes start to swim into the net. And he caught the whole net full. Who is this man, Jesus? How is it possible that the fishes that swam away from the nets in the night would now all swim into the nets? Who is this man? Well, this is the man who is the sustainer of life, the sustainer of our livelihood. If you have Him, you have everything. You do not have Him, you have nothing. The Lord wants us to have that clear understanding concerning who Jesus is. Jesus is on the way, the truth and the life. Life comes from Him. And I begin to learn, I begin to see it, as I ponder it, that He is the one that is the giver of all things. When we delight in Him, when we worship Him, when we follow Him, will He not take care of us? All power is in His hand. This is the living God that we are speaking about. And then the third time it was used, Rhema, John 6:66-68, the time when Jesus fed the 5,000. He broke 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he fed 5,000. After he fed, then they all left him, and then there were only 12 of them there. And from that time, verse 66 says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him. Simon Peter must have thought long and hard. Remember, he has forsook his nets to follow Jesus. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words to give you more than life itself. Not just physical life, but eternal life. Life everlasting. Life beyond this life. And so we were sharing with the elderly man yesterday, or the day before. We said that, you know, although our body becomes weak, and we will perish one day, we will all die. But when Jesus Christ returns to earth again, He will create for you, as a child of God, a new body, an incorruptible body, an eternal body, and that you will not suffer any more loss. The soul and the spirit comes together when Christ returns. That's wisdom. Whom shall we go? Peter thought through the question, considered, and concluded there was nowhere else to go. And I thought myself too, at that point in time, nowhere else to go. Because this is the will of God. This is the Son of God. If you are right with Him, life is right. If you are wrong with Him, life is bad, wrong, forever wrong. And so here, I came to that understanding and a conclusion in my heart that, wow, this is the man Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. He's a creator, sustainer, and savior. Our text tells us, who by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the Father on high. After he died, he rose again from the dead. He appeared 40 days to his disciples, and he ascended to heaven. And the Bible wants us, and this is the truth, and he tells us that there is an eternity to come. And Solomon saw it, that eternity to come. And it is much better than the physical life that we have on this earth. As you compare your 70 years, 80 years versus the eternal. Our second thought. Finding pleasantness and peace. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. You have Jesus. You have everything. He is the sustainer, the creator of all things. And how can we understand this? The psalmist says in Psalm 34 verse 8, all taste and see that the Lord is good. day, and it's a delight to my soul, but I have not fully tasted all of its goodness. There's so much more. And this one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it's wonderful. He says that I look at the target and I run towards that target and I will not look back. And what is he saying here? Well, he says that I press towards the mark for the prize. There's a reward that is coming to the people of God. And if we have found that wisdom, we would have seek for that everlasting reward that God has for us. That we, our life, we would be seeking for that reward. And we know that the day when we see our Lord again, we would receive that reward. And this was the Apostle Paul's life. And I believe the life of many of you here, seeking the Lord, pressing forward. And we thank God there are those who loved him, care enough to serve him, to help the people of God. Well, we thank God that there are those who care. The happy man finds precious life with the Lord, and he finds pleasantness and peace with God. May the Lord bless the riches of his word to the strengthening of our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace. Thank thee for thy mercy in giving to us thy grace to love thee, to serve thee. May thou continue to energize us by thy grace to serve thee, to press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.